One thing about Christianity or about Jesus is, you know, Jesus, although he sometimes had long sentences and said a lot of things, whenever he ended up, he always said something real simple like, come, or go, or like what Margie just sang, only believe, or take the first step. That's a good parent. A good parent is like that. Even if you say a lot, when you're all done, just say one thing, or something small. Because then you know immediately, well, after I've heard all that, what am I to do? And there's usually something you can do. And this is the word of the Lord. Now listen to Isaiah and see what he says. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and even people for thy life. Fear not, again, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show the former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I, even I, am alone, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall hinder it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all those nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen ones. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. Here endeth then the reading for the day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that these words have come to us as words of life, as words to build up, words to strengthen us, encourage us, because you are, and you always are, and you always will be, a God of great and immense and wonderful comfort. Your counsel is wonderful. Your workings are excellent, and you are mighty to deliver. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the great God, a wonderful God. There is no other. You are the only God, and we just look to you today as the living God. We're not going through a ritual. We're not just sitting here out of habit, but we're here because we love you. You've called us. You've called us that you might speak to us and say one thing. Fear not. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Lord God, we thank you that there is no reason ever again, forever and ever, to be afraid of anything or anyone, because we have a God in heaven who has said, fear not. We thank you, Lord God, that when we go through the fire, when we go through the waters, where there is no way, you will yet make a way. There is a way. There is a way that seems right to man, but it's not right. But there is a way that God has established that is right. And Lord God, we thank you that that way is Jesus. That way is Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the way and the truth and the life. And we thank you that there is nothing ever again to worry about. This is a wonderful, glorious, splendid, magnificent day. And it's the first day of the rest of our lives, and it will be the beginning of a glorious and wonderful rest of our lives. Yea, for all eternity. We thank you that never again will we be cast down, distressed, burdened, troubled, because there's always a way out of every trouble, every trial, every problem. And it's a good way, and it's a blessed way, and it's the royal way, and it's the perfect way. And I thank you, Lord God, that this morning you would speak to your people and you'd let them know, never be afraid again of the desert. Never worry about it, because everything's been provided for. You're in a garden. Everything is glorious. We've been returned to Eden without knowing it. It doesn't seem so, but it is so. Because the Lord God reigns, and the Lord God has spoken, and the Lord God has done a new thing. And it has sprung forth. It's already taken place. 2,000 years ago, it happened. That new thing. In Jesus' holy name, we pray this morning that we might understand these things and never again be confused. That everyone who comes here today might realize that everything in their lives right now, although definitely not accomplished by you, we did it ourselves, but everything in our life has been covered by the promise of God, that it will all work out to blessing, which seems absolutely impossible in some cases. How can this mess, how can these troubles, how can these deserts, how can this wilderness turn into a flowering garden? How can the things of my life become suddenly glorious beyond measure? Father God, we thank you that now as we open your word, you might open our minds to have wisdom and understanding that never again will we be afraid. But we will be mighty, we will be comforted, we will be lifted up, exalted, defended, protected, knowing that our God reigns and our God is a good God. We love you and we thank you that this word, as all your words, are words of life. In Jesus' holy name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. We had, I don't know the exact count, but somewhere between 20 and 25 men on a retreat the last 2 days. And to me, it's a turning point in my own life personally, but also I think a turning point in our church's life. This was the thing I've looked forward to probably my whole ministry, is to be able to share with a group of faithful men the things that were entrusted to me, and we put them down on tapes. There's three tapes, Dave, three or four, whatever. And we'll make them available in another week. But I've put down everything that I was given by God to give to others. Now, I'm ready to die or quit or live or whatever, but I did it. And I may not have been right in everything, but I'll guarantee you this, I was faithful to do what God told me to do. I don't know if I was right. I know I was roughly right. I think I was roughly right. But I don't really care about that. The only thing is, God told me to do it, and I did it. And I feel so free and so excited because I believe it was fertile ground. I believe that the men came to know one another and love one another in a more powerful way that I think will be very difficult for Satan to attack and break. Oh, there'll be problems, but those problems will just be stepping stones and not barriers to greater glory for God. Amen? We're not afraid of problems. If you are, you better check out, you know, because problems are part of life. Problems are part of life. That's what the Bible calls a desert. Did you know that no matter what you do in life, you're going to find yourself looking at a desert sooner or later? Not only every once in a while, but lots of every once in a while. Because the only way that we ever really can rejoice is not to look hard or close. I hope people don't look hard and close at me. I know God doesn't. You know what God sees when He sees me? He sees Jesus. Because that's the one I always point to. I say, now don't look too hard at me. Look over there. There's the guy that said it all. He got me in trouble. He's the one that said, I'll take care of Jim. So go talk to him. So God doesn't look hard on me. Because if He did, I think He'd find a lot of stuff. It wouldn't be right. I don't even look myself. I don't bother to check it out. I don't need to. Other people do. I don't bother to pay attention. Because my God will tell me when He wants to tell me something. He will tell me what my sins are, what my problems are, what my shortcomings are. And I'll tell you something, when He tells me, it's always nice. He never tells me to hurt me. He always tells me to help me. In fact, the minute He tells me, in that very second He's already taken care of it, and in that very second He's already changed me, and it's just past history. Whenever God shows me a sin, He immediately forgives me and immediately empowers me, and it's all over with. I like that way, don't you? God never points out a thing and says, when are you going to take care of that? God has never said that. He always says, did you see that sin? Uh-uh. Well, look. Oh, I see it. Well, I've forgiven you. Praise God. And now I'm living in you to empower you, to enable you, to help you to live a whole new life. What do you think of that? Praise God. I'm excited about that. That's a garden. Well, we live in a life that's full of troubles. Jesus said, basically, fundamentally, I don't care how it appears, in the world you have what? Trouble. Tribulation. You can't get away from it. If Jesus had thought it was any other way, He would have told you. He would not have told you that things were basically pretty nice down here and there were a few problems. He didn't say it that way. He never pulls any punches. Jesus tells you like it is. And He said, in the world you've got trouble. Now I find that Christians, I'm not talking about the world, Christians sometimes weep and cry and gripe and moan over troubles. Why? Didn't He tell you there'd be troubles? Yes, but I didn't expect it to be like this. Well, what did you think it would look like? That, you know. Well, troubles are troubles. Now, the Bible consistently, overwhelmingly says, troubles don't trouble the Christian, the one who has faith, the one who knows God, because God is not the troubler of Israel or the troubler of His people, but God is the one who takes away all troubles. God always shows you a way out of your troubles. When you get into trouble, which He didn't make you get into, when you get into trouble, He always is there. Hello, over here, nope, look over here. And you're looking at the trouble. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Someone called me up the other day and they said, you know, Pastor. What? And you know, and they could hardly get it out. And I just waited. I said, I'm not making it. Praise the Lord, I can see that. What seems to be the trouble? What seems to be the trouble? I'm giving up. I've been a Christian for I don't know how many years. And, you know, I can't get it together. I had it together last week and I lost it this week. You know, and now that's a frequent call, very similar to many, many other calls. And as they can, oh, you just thought to yourself when you listen to that, there's no word I could ever come up with that would ever lift that person because they were in their troubles. I mean, they you could just, you know, they were all over it, just coming right out the phone almost. You had to push them back in. But I just said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you don't understand. you know, because I know a God who can get you out of that trouble. As a matter of fact, I know a God who says, you're not in trouble. As a matter of fact, you know, you're wrong. What? You're wrong. You're believing a lie. Because God said that you're in a garden right now. Do you see it?
No.
Well, you are. And, you know, what she wanted to do was she wanted to tell me her whole life story because, you know, it just looked right then that the whole thing was falling apart. And she was going to describe every sand in the desert, you know, and every cactus and, you know, so on and so forth, because she wanted someone to understand, sympathize. But actually, she knew I wouldn't. That's why she called me. She knew that I would point her to Jesus, who is a garden. Now, she in her flesh, she was hoping, I'll point her to the garden. I'll say, all you got to do is 1, 2, 3, and you'll be free. But she knew I wouldn't say that. What I said was, you're wrong. You're wrong. The devil is trying to lie to you. He's telling you what looks like is what is. He's telling you what seems to be is what really is. But God says, what seems to be is not what is. It seems to be a desert. It seems to be a wilderness. It seems like you can never, for example, she didn't like being weak. I know I'm a Christian and I should be stronger. You know, but I tried. I've read the Bible and now I just can't hardly even look at it. And I've said my verses over and over again. And, you know, I've tried to reach God, but He seems to be so far away. And I just hate being weak like this. Why? Well, you're not supposed to, are you? Well, I don't know. You are, aren't you? Doesn't God love you the way you are? Who cares what you're supposed to be? What are you? Well, I'm weak. Wonderful. Praise God. Did you know that God loves weak people? No? Well, He does, you know. And pretty soon, she began to talk normal. And before long, as we began to see that when man was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there was an angel put there that said, you can't get back in. You're not going to come back in. Everybody in this life, I don't care who you are, they want to be strong. They want to be happy. They want to have people appreciate them. They want to be understood. They want people to attend to them. They want people to pay attention. You know, and I said, do you think, let me ask you a question, I said. Do you think that people really appreciate you? No way, you know, she blubbered out. There's no way, they don't appreciate me. And I said, I'm going to tell you something, they never will. That shocked her. Well, what about Christians? Won't they appreciate me? Uh-uh. No. Just the same as the other group out there. If you're waiting around for Christians to attend to you, I want to tell you something right now. Christians are not in sin if they don't attend to you. They cannot attend to you. There's only one that can, and His name is Jesus. You know, I don't care about your problems. You know why? I got problems of my own. If I bothered to try to take care of your problems, now, you understand the simple sense, we do care for one another. But in a real big sense, there's nothing we can do for one another except to point to Him who does care. Now, I can't spend the time with you that it takes to listen to all your troubles and woes and everything or anything else. I just don't have the time. But I know one who does. Not only that, but He's longing to listen to you, to attend to you, to bless you, to hear you, to help you, to comfort you. His name is Jesus. Now, Jesus really has a lot of time. You know that Jesus is doing nothing up there? He's not doing a thing. He's unemployed. He's waiting for people to pray and call out to Him. And a lot of people, you know, they hardly bother Him. You know, well, He must be so busy, I don't want to bother Him. He's got angels and He's got a big staff up there and, you know, He likes to listen in, you know. And a lot of people, it's just a dead line. You know, He hardly ever gets, something big's going to happen because George is calling me finally. George, what's happening? I'm the last ditch, huh? Has it gotten that bad? It's down to me now, huh? Well, praise God. You know, well, it's all right. We're ready to go, you know. And for many people, they just don't want to bother God with all their troubles and problems. What do you think they're there for? God knows they're in this world, and He knows they're designed to overcome you so that you'll cry out and say, God, I can't do it. I can't love my wife as Christ loved the church. I can't love the brothers and sisters as I love myself. I can't submit to my husband as to the Lord. I can't. I can't even be happy in this world. You know, I just can't make it. And that's great. That's exactly what God knew would happen. That's why he sent Jesus into the world to say, even though this world is a wilderness and you'll find no solace down here, if you look to your husband to be your solace, you've set him up for a fall. If you look to your pastor as the man to turn to find God, you've set him up for a fall. You've got to grow all on your own and find Jesus yourself. Now, I hope that your husband's a good husband, and I hope your pastor has words of wisdom. But if they are, they'll tell you, Jesus loves you, Jesus is your wisdom, Jesus is your hope, Jesus, 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 Jesus. The greatest thing we can do for one another, I'm sorry if you don't like this, it's the best we got, is Jesus. That's the best thing we can offer. Jesus is the garden. I don't need Eden anymore. I don't have to see roses and flowers and frogs and elephants getting together. I've never seen a frog and an elephant get together. But I don't need to see that. I don't care if the animals eat one another and devour one another, and if, you know, the plants don't grow right and I get disease all over my garden and stuff. I don't care. I've got a garden because I've got Jesus. Jesus is the only real garden I'll ever have. Now, I know things go well in this world. I've had blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and you could say that's a little garden. I've got a blessed wife, a blessed family, blessed people here in church, and so on and so forth. But I don't look real close. And that's what makes me so happy. You know, because I get hung up on Jesus, and I don't want to look too close at anything else. He's kind of jealous for me. And as I shared this with the woman, and I said, you know what's happening to you? No. Jesus is jealous for you, and you're under a lie that this world's going to turn into a garden. I want to tell you right now, everyone's going to disappoint you from here on out. If you look at people, they're going to disappoint you. People are a big disappointment. Amen. You know, including you. You know, you're the biggest. You know, that's the way it is. We disappoint people because we're not God. We never will be. It's not our role to be God. Our role is to point to him who is God. And you're not a perfect vessel, and you will never be in this life. No one in this life will ever be so mature and so perfect that you could ever confuse them with Jesus. In fact, when pastor lets you down, which he will, when wife lets you down, when children let you down, you know, oh, my children, you know, as long as they're two or something like that, or no, not even two, how far do they get? You know, as long as they're just a few months old, they're just delights, you know? You skip over the, you know, the undelight part. You know, you just forget that part. But it isn't long before they begin to resist you. No. You know, those little, you know, and they develop a little life of their own. You know, and I said, don't touch that. I said, don't touch that. All right. There. Now, you know, that's great because they're independent people. And you're not going to find Eden on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean you don't discipline and you don't try to be the best you can and so on and so forth. But don't look real close. You know, just rough it in this life. Get your eye fixed on Jesus because there's one that's perfect and there's only one that's perfect. And his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I have the perfect life down here. You know, once I find that Jesus is my garden, it colors my whole thinking, and I find gardens everywhere. Now, everywhere I go, I find gardens. Someone says, here's a piece of sand, like that woman. You know, she called up and said, here's some sand. What do you think of that? And I said, it looks pretty to me. It looks beautiful. I just see roses here. I see gardens here. And she says, where? Well, how do you see that? But before we were done, she not only was set free, she only stopped blubbering and crying. She stopped griping and complaining. Her life was transformed, and she knew for the rest of her life she would never fall for that trick again. She was excited, rejoicing, laughing, victorious. Now that's typical. That happens a lot. God wants you to do that same thing for people. But you can't do it until you know the garden yourself. Now listen carefully to the scripture. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee. Now this is way back in the Garden of Eden, so to speak. Fear not, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed thee. I'm your redeemer, I've called thee by name, thou art mine. Now God never deals with sinners. Therefore, in order to come, if God came into this room right now, in all of his splendor and glory, and he is here, but if he came in all of his splendor and glory, he would just wipe us away in the natural. If we weren't covered by the blood of Jesus, if we didn't have faith in Jesus, he would just wipe us away because he's holy and we're not. He's light and we're dark, and so on. He'd just blow us away. But he doesn't come that way. He never did show up in this world. Did you notice that in the Garden of Eden, he used to talk to Adam and Eve, but he doesn't do that anymore? You know, when's the last time you saw God? The Bible says, no man has ever seen God. But Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. So God comes as a redeemer, knowing that we can't handle that, yet God wants to come to us. But if he comes to us, he'll destroy us. So what he does is he comes to us as a redeemer, protects us with the blood of Jesus so he can come to us as our Father. So I see God, I talk to God, I walk with God, but I don't see him yet face to face. Now, I don't see his backside like Moses did under the law. I see his face, but I see his face in the face of Jesus. It's kind of like his face looks like the Redeemer face, because he has the face of the Redeemer. But I don't yet see him as he is. I'm starting to, as I see Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, so the more I see Jesus, it's changing me. The more I look at Jesus, it's changing me, and pretty soon I'm growing in holiness. And pretty soon I'm seeing gardens everywhere. And pretty soon I realize Susan is blessing me. Keith is blessing me. Susie is blessing me. David is blessing me. Everybody's blessing me. Who? I can't think of anybody who isn't blessing me. Everybody's out to bless me. What a wonderful world. Have you had those kind of eyes? Do you know that there are people that are trying to not bless me, but they can't help but bless me? They're out. They're trying to get me. And you know what? God just giggles up there and laughs and says, you're going to bless Jim if you like it or not. And I don't notice. I don't look real close because I think I'd forget that they were blessing me sometimes. But I don't look real close. But I look at God's hand and God says, I have formed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. And he said, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. No one will get to you. You don't have to defend yourself. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And I just got my hands out and I said, well, praise God. If God's shielding me, I don't have to shield myself. I'll just use my hands not to protect myself, but I'll use them to take that exceedingly great reward. Now, that's faith. Only faith can enter the garden. Jesus was in the Garden of Eden. He was a tree of life to us. But we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil away from God. Had to experience it for ourselves, find out for ourselves. Let's get our own knowledge. And we fell away and got out of the garden, and then we tried to get back in. Can we get back in? And the old angel said, get away, get away. You're not coming back in. You're not going to get to God. You're going to stay out in the desert. No, don't leave us out in this desert. There's things out here. You know, wives. People, you know, husbands. This brother of yours, you know, this son of yours, you know, there's all those kind of things out there. Well, where am I going to find peace and happiness? Wasn't I created to find peace and happiness? Uh-huh. Well, what went wrong? You left the garden. You tried on your own to find God, to find happiness apart from God. God said, don't eat of that tree. You said, I wonder what would happen if I forgot what God said, turned away from God, and tried that apple. And what happened was, we lost, not only did we lose God, we lost happiness and peace because God is happiness and peace. Not only did we lose our love with God, we lost the garden, we lost it all. Not only did we lose God, but we lost all else. We lost all creation. We had dominion over this earth and we lost it. But man said to himself, that's all right. I'm a pretty smart person, you know. I'll, through science or something, I'll win back this earth. I don't need God. I'll be God. You know, I mean, you don't need to have God. Be God yourself. But every time I try to be God and make a little garden for myself, now, Peggy, you be like this, and Cara, you be like that, and Kirsten, you know, and now people in the church, you be like this, and I got everybody arranged in my garden. And that, oh, tulips over there. And, you know, we'll have a few roses come up here. And every time I try to arrange it, it always goes yucko. You know, I fertilize the thing, and I in all my wisdom, in all my wonderful care, I just can't raise any flowers. I can't do it. And then since I can't have real flowers, I'll just make cardboard ones. You know, you won't cooperate, so I'll just make my own image of what you ought to be. Put a cardboard flower there and a nice rose there. That makes me a lot happier. But I happen to know it's cardboard. Those little gardens that we create for ourselves, they're pure illusion. Enter the real world. Grow up. Face it. No one out there is going to appreciate you, love you, follow you, obey you, help you in any way. I'm telling you the truth. Now, God does. But He's the only one that does. And if you say, well, sometimes that brother or that sister helps me, you're right, but it's because God uses them. But there comes a time when God wants to distinguish between the creature and the creator. There's a time when God wants to say, do you know why you were raised in a loving family? Don't mistake that loving family for me. I am different than that loving family. In other words, if they were apart from me, or if you are apart from me, that love will dry up. Don't think you can possess Isaac. Don't think you can possess your beloved. You don't possess people. I give them as gifts. But now I'm a jealous lover, and I want you to realize all the good that's happened to you, it came from me. They were just vehicles, vessels, means. I'm the source. And I don't want you to love your husbands and your wives and your mothers and your fathers and your children and your pastors. And I don't want you to love them. I want you to love me. Now, I give them to you. And in that sense, I tell you to love them, but I want you to love them because I tell you to love them. I don't want you to love them because they're nice to you. I want you to love them because I say, love all your brothers and sisters and bless your enemies too. Now, that's my decision, because I'm the real one that loved you. I'm your source, you see? God wants you all for Himself. That's why He puts problems out there. He doesn't put them. He just opens your eyes to see them and allows you to... You see, most people run away from problems. When they got a problem, when they're in the desert, they run quickly for a garden. Someone that will give them comfort. You're going to learn after a while that God will allow that to happen at first, but then He won't. And you're going to have to learn there's only one that can really comfort you, and that's Jesus. You can have the best marriage in terms of being stable. You can have a good reputation. You can be wealthy. You can be well thought of. You can have a successful church. You can have this. You can have that. You can have everything this world has to offer. If you could get it, if you were tempted, like Jesus was tempted, to have the glory of the kingdoms, if you got it all, you'd still lose everything. Now, that will be granted to man. Satan can actually take the kingdoms and the glory of this world and give it to people. And he's going to do it. There will be a man, I think, before the Lord returns. And that spirit is already with us. And we get it in little ways. Each of us is little antichrists. But there's going to be a man called the Antichrist who will actually get the kingdoms of this world. You think that'll lead to happiness and peace and joy? No way. If you got everything you ever wanted or thought you wanted, it would still turn out to be a desert. It would be a wilderness. There's only one garden in this life, and His name is Jesus. Jesus, who is the tree of life, came out into the desert. You can't go back into Eden. Because He's not there. Jesus is not in Eden. Why? Because Eden is in Jesus. And Jesus came out into the desert, and that's the only place you'll find Him, is in the midst of your problems. In the midst of your troubles, in the real world, open your eyes, you've got no one out there but Jesus. There is no hope, no comfort, no joy, no peace, no nothing but Jesus. But when you've got Jesus, you've got it all. Now that I've met Jesus, and now that I know that men are all a vain hope, men will let me down. I don't care how successful I become, and I really intend to be successful. I will be. But no matter how successful I become, I put no hope in it, no stock in it. The only reason I'm doing it is because God said to do it. Now, God wants you to be successful. Did you know that? That's the only reason I want to be successful. He said to be successful. This is not in the flesh. This is in the spirit. There's no room for being a failure in the kingdom of God. There's no room for being a failure in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about just outward. I'm talking about really. But the thing is, there's nothing out there. There's nothing you could add to my happiness. There's nothing you could take away. I am happy, period. Why? I met Jesus. I'm in a garden. I'm always in a garden. You know, when I was sitting here this morning, and I was watching some of the things going on with the music ministry and so on, I was thinking, that's not how we rehearsed it at all. What was interesting was the temptation was get up there and I'll just take over this thing, you know, and I'll fix it up, you know, but I knew better than that. So a big smile just came over my face, and I just thought, praise the Lord, who cares? The people care, I thought. But, you know, too bad for them. So they don't have a garden. You know, that's their problem. A garden is a choice you make when you meet Jesus. If you've met Jesus, you can have a garden anywhere. What's the difference whether problems come up or troubles come up? Jesus said you'd have them. He didn't promise you everything would go smoothly. Some people say, you know, well, I've come to your church for a while, but I've noticed after 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, it's not a perfect church. Praise the Lord. Could have told them that first day. You know, you're not going to find a perfect church. Now, this may not be the perfect church for you, but you're not going to find a perfect church. You can have a garden anywhere you want. Just wherever you want to open your eyes and see Jesus is there, He'll make up for, He'll fulfill, He'll be everything. You're in a garden, but you have to make it. You have to, by faith, say, this is a garden. This wife that I have is a beautiful rose. These children that I have are petunias, you know, whatever. Just dress this garden up, you know. This boss that I have is an elephant, you know, but a friendly one, you know, and so on. Just make your garden with everybody at peace, but it's a faith statement, and that will give you that peace, that happiness, and keep you content. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am, whether I am abounding or abased, it makes no difference whatsoever. That's the Christian walk. That's the Christian life. That's what he said here when he said, I have declared and I have saved and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God and there is no other. You have the greatest, you have everything. Oh, people, you have everything. You need nothing. You lack nothing. You're in Eden if you're in Jesus. Don't look for it. You'll never see it. In all the world, you'll never see it. This church will never be without problems. And it's not going to get any better. Just some things will change, but some things will get worse. Okay? Forget that. Keep your eye on Jesus. That's the only way, if we have any other purpose, it's just to keep our eyes on Jesus. Then you'll be happy. That's the only way you'll find happiness. But if you say, you know, well, why don't you do this yet? And why haven't you done that? And, you know, I don't think that's right. And this and that and so on and so forth. If you say it and don't get hung up on it, praise the Lord. But if you say it and think, unless that happens, you know, things aren't going to be right, fiddle. They will too. This is a great and wonderful church. Even if the whole thing falls apart, praise the Lord. Why? Because God's great and wonderful. I don't believe I'll get second best ever. Do you? Can God ever give you second best? Is your wife first best? Amen. Is your husband first best? Amen. Let's hear it a little louder. Amen. I got the greatest husband in the world. Doesn't look great, but he is great. It's true. It's faith. When are you going to learn to live by faith? You're in a garden. God could not give you more. Can you say to God truthfully on the day of salvation, can you say, God, now I just do have a few complaints. Everything was not perfect when I was down there. He said it was. You just didn't see it. I told you there'd be trouble in the world, but I also told you be of good cheer because I've overcome the world and I made it serve you. Didn't you see it? Didn't you notice it? Didn't you notice all the wonderful things I had for you? No, I didn't. I thought I was cheated. I'm going to tell you something right now. No one is going to ever care for you. If you're wondering if anyone's ever going to appreciate you or care for you, I'll just tell you right now, even if you get the Mother of the Year Award or something, nobody's going to care for you. Now, if anybody ever does say, you know, I love you, take it as a faith statement. Take it as a faith statement. That's as good as you can get. Say, well, I don't want any of this faith stuff. I want to know if I'm really appreciated. Well, I'll tell you something. God said, I accepted you. Isn't that enough? Isn't it enough that God accepted you? Now, His children will love you, but it'll always be to a degree. And don't look. Just don't look. And when someone abuses you, I don't know, I've learned just to throw off huge parts of my life. If somebody does something horrible, I just forget it. Blow it off. I pay attention to it. You know? Because I know I'm going to be blessed anyway. I don't know what that all's about, but I know one thing. That'll bless me somehow. I don't even try to figure it out. I don't look real hard and say, no, how is this dandelion, you know, really? I don't look. I just know it's going to be a blessing. I don't work so hard anymore. It's so much easier to go through life this way. Jesus has blessed me. I could not be more happy in my whole life. There's no way. I'm ready to die right now because I'm loaded with happiness. And I'll tell you something else. If I live another minute, another hour, another day, it's going to get better. And it's going to get better. because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And Jesus said, I've saved the best to last. Do you believe that? I don't think we've even seen the best. I believe it's going to be so glorious and so exciting, more, I'm just even visible, but it's got to be only for the faith people. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, I'm going to see a lot. I know I'm going to see a lot. I just know it. I don't care if I do. I don't need to see anything. I'm happy already. You really can't add any happiness to me. But I just believe I'm going to see a lot more. I believe it's just going to keep going and going and going. Now that's a garden. I live in a garden. I'm not going out of that garden. I found the garden out in the wilderness, and I love looking at sand. And I keep saying, now there's a beautiful rose for you. Listen. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old in the wilderness. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Where? In the desert. Ye shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. That's us. And it's anyone, whosoever will may come. Anybody can have this. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. I'll tell you, that's all I want to do is praise Jesus. I just want to tell how great God is. I say that in faith, but I also say that in fact. I've seen how good He is. I've seen real roses. But that rattlesnake will turn into, what? Something else. Turn into a, I don't know, what do rattlesnakes turn into? But it'll be nice. I'm not afraid of rattlesnakes. I mean, I really am, but I mean, I'm talking about by faith. We were on the ranch yesterday, the big ranch, about 600 acres, and I didn't know if rattlesnakes are out yet, but I took a stick with me wherever I went. Didn't want any rattlesnake, you know, in case my faith ran out, you know. We were out in the wilderness there. But there's no snake in my garden. I know God is good. I know that God has called me by name. The rivers won't overwhelm me. The fires aren't going to burn me. That's faith. There are sometimes when I'm beat down. There are sometimes when I see things that overwhelm me. I'm looking right at the desert. My face is in the sand. But I just turn to God and I say, help. I don't pretend like I'm a big deal. I just say, help. And God always comes to me, comforts me, and says, what are you doing down there? I don't know. Looking right into the sand. He says, get up. Dust yourself off. Fear not. I am with you. The water won't overwhelm you. The river's not, you know, this and that. Oh, praise God. I get up and I start running and say, hallelujah. And I pick roses and flowers and I'm happy. You're in a garden because Jesus is your garden. Now, if you look anywhere else, you won't find it. But look at Jesus and you'll see right now everything's going your way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. I want you to repeat after me some sentences that'll just build us up on this, just the things we've just said. Father God, I thank you that you have not taken me out of the desert, out of the wilderness. I have howled, I have cried, I have yelled, I have moaned, I have griped, I have complained. Get me out of this desert. But I was wrong. You are in the desert. You are at every place. There is a flower everywhere. The sweet fragrance of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I know now that all the troubles of my life are hiding a beautiful desert, a garden. And that all of the dry desert is being renewed by the water of life, by the word of God, by the living presence of Jesus. You have spread a table in the wilderness. And there I have found my Eden. I look no further. I have stopped running. I'll stop looking. I have found. I've been found. I love you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.